Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
I've been trolling some people tonight. Fun times, fun times. We'll talk about it a little bit later. No, it has nothing to do with the Elite. We've talked about it the last 2 weeks. AEW tonight finally began the slow burn of the TV return of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. I know they're trying to portray on TV that, you know, their history is being erased. If you've regularly tuned into this show, you know exactly what's going down. It's not news for all of us. We saw this coming and we talked about it. But I will give you a little exclusive in a few moments as far as when we should see them back on TV. What's up, everyone? It is Wednesday night. I want to thank you very much for Wednesday night Dynamite. I know. Chris says that I look skinnier when I wear the Manscaped shirt. You know, they don't just help your balls. They actually help your waistline a little bit. Well, this is what happens when you put on a size large, when you're a size extra large. That's no joke. Thank God the room is a little bit dark, because I think there probably would be more rolls than a bakery right now. You'd probably see creases. So, by the way, tonight's show is brought to you by Manscaped. We will plug them in a little bit, but if you go to manscaped.com, enter the promo code DONTONY, all one word, you get not only 20% off your entire order, you also get free shipping. So how's everybody doing tonight? We just had Dynamite go off the air, and you know, everybody is now, oh, babyface MJF. Listen, I'll say this, okay? From what I was told, you know, MJF is the devil. We knew that. But, you know, the devil is very deceiving. And yes, the devil may have got his ass handed to him tonight by the firm. But in the end, you know, we still think that MJF is going to show his true colors. I don't see him going full-blown babyface. I know the fans want to get behind it and everything, but nah, I just can't buy it. I just can't buy it. The only two reasons that I, if you said to me, DT, give me two reasons to justify MJF staying as a full-blown babyface. Reason number one, CM Punk. Not only what happened, his injury. Remember, even if there was no media scrum, even if there was no backstage fighting, CM Punk still would be out of action. CM Punk was their top babyface, their top merch seller, their top revenue generator. So who replaces CM Punk as that top number one babyface? I know some of you think that it's Jon Moxley. It's not. I know some of you think it could be Bryan Danielson. Sure doesn't feel that way. So if you're going to replace CM Punk as a top babyface merchandise seller, somebody that the fans could truly get behind, MJF is your guy. Reason number two, MJF, more as a babyface, does not have to go way over the top with his promos. If anybody has been paying very, very, very close attention to MJF's mic work the last month, and it's not just while he's back. No, you see that the network has requested from AEW, tone down the language, tone this down, tone that down. You know, you don't see a lot of what you used to see. And MJF, listen, we've talked about it before. If that guy ends up going to WWE, he's not going to be able to say half the shit that he used to say. So MJF, more as a babyface, can still be and have an attitude, could still be snarky, but he doesn't have to be that uber vile person that just says the most disgusting things around. Listen, any wrestler that can talk. If you say to them, say whatever you want, say whatever you want. You could call people names. You could call people crack whores. You could do this. You could do that. You could say anything. Nothing is out of bounds other than the F word. You know, of course, the promos would sound that much more powerful. You know, one of the things that I'll never forget, and I know it's trivial, and I know a lot of you will say this is stupid, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, ECW, when they went to pay-per-view in May 1997, you know, it was supposed to be on pay-per-view sooner, but then unfortunately we had the mass transit incident and, you know, a few other things were going down. And, you know, in the mid-90s when ECW was trying to get on pay-per-view, it was looked at like outlaw wrestling. I mean, MMA was not received like it is now. So the Dudleys, when they would go to the Elks Lodge, when they would do house shows, they would almost cause riots. And Bubba Ray Devon, they would say some of the most vile shit. They would say worse in a lot of cases of what MJF says. I mean, you had literally near riots with the Dudleys. When they showed up on the first ECW pay-per-view, even when they showed up on WWE television down the line, to hear Devon, who would always call someone a piece of shit, and now he gets on the mic and he says, you know, all you, nothing but pieces of garbage. It reminded me of when I watched Scarface or the Blues Brothers or any R-rated film on regular TV back in the 80s. When all the words were censored, you know, that's what it felt like. So MJF has to change his vocabulary. This is a challenge. So again, I still believe in the end, MJF goes full-blown heel. William Regal ultimately supposed to get attacked by MJF. So even though MJF was laid out by the firm today, and even though MJF was fired Stokely, I don't think anybody wanted MJF involved with the firm or Stokely or anybody else anyway. But the devil does his own thing. So even though he got beat up today, and who knows, maybe in a week or two, we have a match on Dynamite, MJF teaming up with Jon Moxley against maybe Ethan Page and W. Morrissey. That could very well happen. But I still think in the end, you know, MJF, I just can't see full-blown babyface. You know it's the devil. And at some point, the devil is going to turn. He's a snake. He's a snake. Never trust a snake. We all know that story. So, but look, I'm just giving you the scenario. If you force me to give you two reasons why he should, you know, be a full-blown babyface with CM Punk out, obviously. Now, as I have been preparing everyone the last few weeks, we don't do full-blown Dynamite and NXT reviews anymore. There's 1,000 podcasts out there that do it. So we will just give you a brief recap. Anything that stands out from any of these shows, we'll talk about it in a little bit more detail. But these are not going to be TV review recaps anymore. It's too many of them out there. So we'll definitely get into stuff. And yeah, we definitely have to get into something that happened last night on NXT. I have been trolling people all day. I've been trolling people all day. Yes, I know the screen is blank, but I emailed a couple of my friends, and all I did was attach this file. Now, look at it closely. Now, this might actually hypnotize you. If you watch it a couple of times, you might get hypnotized. Ah, that's fourth generation wrestler. It's even better. It's even better when you do it with audio. Do it on loop. Do it on loop. Oh, that's great, man. That's great. Ava Rain is now part of the Schism in NXT, made her debut yesterday. Fourth generation wrestler. Think about that. Yeah, I know this is going to piss people off, but, you know, did we get our prediction right as far as who was going to, should I post it? Should I, nah, you know what happened. We talked about it Monday And I told everybody why I thought it was going to be Ava Raine making her debut. You know what? Oh, fuck it. This is a clip from Monday's show. I'm thirsty. I need a break for a second. Now, there's some websites teasing that Dominic Dijakovic will be revealed as the new member of the Schism with the Dyad and Joe Gacy. So a lot of you want me to comment about that. And I'm telling you right now, it is not going to be Dominic Dijakovic. All right. This was the segment announcing the reveal on Tuesday. Now, I want to show you four pictures, actually. Okay. This was a couple of weeks ago. The first thing you should notice right away, even though the person is leaning against a box, is the person is not as tall as Dominic Dijakovic. Not even fucking close. Plus, the body is kind of small. All right? So now, let's go back to September. Because a lot of people in September were probably not paying attention to NXT. And this person was standing, if you look, I'm not trying to be nasty here, everyone. That looks like a little set of titties. That looks like a little set of titties there. So that is a woman. And when they flashed the camera straight, that is obviously a female's pair of eyes. That is a woman. So the reveal is going to be a woman. Now, a lot of you are asking me who I think the woman will be. My choice might surprise a lot of you out there. Who do I think it may be? I think it may be The Rock's daughter. I look at the eyes. Let's look at the eyes again. I look at the eyes. I don't know. For some reason, I think it's The Rock's daughter. You know, can she pull it off? I don't know. But again, I look at this picture, you know, and I'm not saying that The Rock's daughter has a small pair, but the physique looks very similar. And for me, the eyes match. The eye color matches. And that's what I'm going with. That's what I'm going with. So we will see. We will see. Personally, if it ends up being her, you know, that's going to be really interesting. And keep in mind, she may not have to talk all that much because Joe Gacy is the one that dominates the mic more than anything. I think it's going to be someone that we really have not seen on NXT television. The Rock's daughter has not been featured on NXT television.
All right, so that was yesterday. Chuck one up for the good guys. Listen, I'll just give you my quick thoughts about this. I'm going to go into it with open eyes. Ava Raine, obviously new to the TV, you know, the WWE Universe. She is The Rock's daughter. And as we've talked about in the past, if you look at wrestling history, from the David Sammartinos to the Scott Putzkis, and you go down the line, second, third generation wrestlers don't fare all that well. Changing her name originally, people were pissed the fuck off. You know, why are they changing her name? Why can't they acknowledge, look what they did to Bron Breakker. Why couldn't they just call him Steiner? Listen, you know, I think especially because she is still brand new in the world of pro wrestling, you don't want everybody to, you know, look at her and be reminded every single time that that's The Rock's daughter. Down the line, if she pulls this off and does a halfway decent job, you will have some casual wrestling fans that will be like, you know, like, because right now people are like, oh, that's The Rock's daughter. I even advertise it as The Rock's daughter. But down the line, people will say the same thing, but they'll say it differently. They'll say, that's The Rock's daughter? That's The Rock's daughter? So, look, she hasn't done anything yet, so I'm not going to crap on it. It's interesting that they decided to go this route. Take a wait-and-see approach. I say we give it a month or two, see how she does, see what she does, and we go from there. But I will say this. You know, someone sent me this photo earlier. She is right next to Mia Yim, if you're looking at this photo.
Pretty dramatic change if you really think about it. I mean, that was right at the beginning, and that is her now. So, look, I wish her well. You pay attention to the net. You got to be very careful who you listen to, because you're going to have two extreme different views on this. Some people are going to call it dead before it even starts. But you're also going to get some people who think that The Rock may retweet them or like them or just like fawn over the situation to try to get brownie points out of it. Believe me when I tell you, everybody that talks about her, that knows her personally, I don't know her personally. I don't know anybody really that knows her personally, but you see the vibe has always been positive with her. So, look, good luck to her. We'll see what happens. At the end of the day, you, me, and everybody else tuning in are wrestling fans. She has to entertain us, and we don't have to cheer her or jeer her simply because she's related to someone. But I think the further away that she is associated with her father, I think the better of a chance that she can actually do a halfway decent job. So we'll see what happens. So we got that out of the way. All right, let's talk a few moments about the Elite, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega. By the way, there is a report going around. Remember 2 weeks ago when I said this is not an investigation? This was, how do you handle the legal side of it? Nick Houseman, remember him? Colt Cabana stuff? He's not a bad journalist. I've always said that. But if you look at his history with the Colt Cabana, CM Punk stuff, you know, it's almost like an obsession. That's how it's perceived to me. But he's not a bad guy. But something fascinating that was written today, pretty sure by him, because now anybody who follows the show and follows what I do, anything Nick Houseman related to this, people get in touch with me. He is now saying that the situation where AEW Tony Khan have been focusing on is how to handle this legally, that CM Punk went the legal route almost right away. Gee, what show has been saying that since day one? Remember what I said 2 weeks ago? Just like the Vince McMahon stuff. Remember when everybody was expecting the bombshell? Vince McMahon steps down. Two Matarazzas show up on Busted Open Radio. Were they from Variety or something? And they're almost baffled. They're like, why is this not a bigger story on the net? Why does this feel like it's being shot down? Everybody was hoping that there was going to be a bombshell. People were teasing, thinking that Vince McMahon was going to be arrested. People were saying, oh, we've just begun. You know, call me Karen Carpenter. We've only just begun. And meanwhile, here, we're like, no, the investigation is just about over. What happened 2 weeks later? It was done. It was over with. And people were left holding their balls in their hands. Hopefully they're trim balls by Manscaped. Oh, man. No, but seriously. So now, what did we talk about 2 weeks ago? We put it out on the table. This was never an investigation. You know why to use the word investigation? Because that is a safe word for all of the people who give Tony Khan the hand job, who give him the rim job. When you use investigation, look, you know, we can't ask Tony Khan the hard questions. It's an investigation. It's an outside investigation. Can't comment about it. That's Tony Khan's way out. Oh, no, I can't comment. It's an investigation. So you use cute words where people like, fuck, I can't ask him a question. It's an investigation. It was never an investigation. Remember the Inspector Gadget thumbnail? There was no outside doing forensics, matching up bite marks. Ow! Was it really Ace Steel that bit him? Or maybe it was the dog. Or maybe it was his wife. Or maybe it was Jose the assistant. You think that, what investigation? They knew what happened. Problem is, Tony Khan's contracts are on a couple of sheets of paper. They're not detailed. There's not a lot of covering your bases. And when this shit went down, especially when CM Punk was part of the office, a lot of people seem to leave that out. Jesus, how the fuck do we handle? CM Punk is a professional. CM Punk has gone through Dr. Amon lawsuits, Colt Cabana lawsuits, WWE lawsuits. CM Punk is a grizzled professional veteran. That motherfucker will hire $1 million attorney. Because if he gets any profit out of it,
The lawyer gets a third. Tony Khan, how the fuck we handle this? So when you use the word investigation, that's the way out for all of these journalists to not fucking put this person, test them. Ariel Helwani got the closest to it. And Ariel Helwani, I have nothing but respect for now. And I'm sure that'll be a topic of discussion next week, because don't forget, it is only 8 days away, everyone. JD from New York will be joining me here. I know he took Tony Khan's side on this. I take Ariel Helwani's side. So I'm sure this will be a hot topic to talk about. But here's the thing. You know, so everybody uses the word investigation, which forces everybody to back off. And the journalists that don't want to hit Tony Khan with the obvious question, they use, oh, no, we can't ask him. It's an investigation. So what does Nick Houseman or Wrestling Inc. write today? That what was going on had to do with CM Punk and attorneys. This is exactly what we predicted. As soon as the EVPs were ready to return, take 6 weeks off, take 2 months off. Let me square out this situation with CM Punk. And once we got it to pretty much a conclusion, then you'll be back. You think that the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega have not been working out of their houses, communicating with Tony Khan, text messages, phone calls, Zoom calls, going over things? You think that they just turned around and they went fishing or went sneaker shopping the last 2 months? No, they have been still involved. But they're not going to give any signs to the locker room. Look at the Eddie Kingston interview today. We're not going to cover that today. We'll cover that on Saturday. But look at the Eddie Kingston interview today. Pay very close attention to what Eddie Kingston said, because there's a lot of people in the locker room that do not like the Young Bucks, that do not like Kenny Omega. But this might be their only opportunity to get a really, really good chance at, you know, doing what they do and getting paid very well for it. So if there's even a little inkling that the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are still doing things, and somebody in the locker room, you don't think that they're going to give a crumb to their people online? So this has been obvious. So now things have been pretty much come to a conclusion with the CM Punk stuff. By the way, happy birthday, CM Punk. AEW didn't even wish him a happy birthday today. You know, just a birthday wish. Not even that. So tonight on Dynamite, we got what we said was going to happen. The slow burn begins with the return of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks to TV. Now look, I know my audience is not as big as the clickbaiters out there and the blue check marks and everything like that, but no one is going to deny that what we have said, especially for the last 4 months, about everything has been 1,000% accurate. So now, tonight, I love the package. I thought it was very creative. They started showing vignettes going back to when AEW was first created. And they showed the Young Bucks in the parking lot, I think Jacksonville. And then they do some computer technology as if they're being erased. And then they show up at the first event, All In, and then they do some computer graphic work. It looks like they're being erased. So this is a sample of what you got today on Dynamite. You basically got them, watch closely, up. They're being erased from history, everyone. They're being erased from history. Need not worry. Right now, AEW is targeting the Full Gear pay-per-view. And what will happen at Full Gear? This will happen. That is what's going to happen. So right now, you have this. Oh, yeah, let's celebrate. A race from history. Have no fear, everyone, because in the very near future, you're going to get this. Oh, look, they are back. Now, they obviously won't do that live because this ain't Star Trek. You know, they're not going to be beamed into the ring. That's what's going to happen. Could the Elite return to TV sooner? Sure. But Full Gear is going to be a stacked fucking card. Think about this card. You're going to have Moxley versus MJF. You're going to probably have Saraya versus Britt Baker. And, you know, I think next week they're finally going to have to either reveal clearly that Saraya is cleared to return, Or if they want to go a different route, they could make it the unsanctioned match that we've talked about for the last month. And you have the Elite returning. So will they go for the Trios titles? Oh, we don't know. But as of right now, the Elite are planned to return at Full Gear. Maybe they return sooner for a ratings grab. But, you know, especially with what's going on, you do it at Full Gear. I don't know how many people will buy the pay-per-view just to see the Elite return, but you best damn believe that they will be back on TV by Full Gear. So that's what we got tonight. By the way, we have a contest tonight. Everybody is welcome to play. I will give you the details in a little bit. Somebody tonight is not only going to win this new MJF Devil shirt, but someone also is going to win this Moxley shirt. You know, nice main event scheduled for Full Gear. So somebody is going to win both of those shirts. I'll give you details in a little bit. I won't make you wait an hour, I promise, because we're going to run down the show. And don't forget, tonight's episode of Wednesday Night Dynamite is brought to you by Manscaped. I will get into a few items in a little bit. This way, for your tiny little balls, if you need some grooming products, especially around Halloween time, I'll give you a couple of offers that you really shouldn't refuse. Unless you're not a man. You know, unless you don't have balls. I should say it like that. Got to be a little bit careful over here. All right. Let's talk briefly match rundowns tonight on AEW. Then we'll talk about NXT a little bit. Let me pull up my notes. Didn't have to take many notes tonight. That's one thing. You don't have to take so much notes. You can enjoy the shows a little bit more. Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta, they defeated Chris Jericho and Daniel Garcia. Now, they're suddenly teasing dissension between Bryan Danielson and Wheeler Yuta. This is ultimately going to result in Claudio Castagnoli almost being forced to choose sides here. Are they doing this to lead to a match between Claudio Castagnoli and Bryan Danielson? I think so. Could it lead to Bryan Danielson versus Wheeler Yuta? That is possible as well. But, you know, Bryan Danielson suddenly is not very happy with Wheeler Yuta, you know, getting in his face last week. And by the way, with all the interaction tonight with Renee Paquette, I don't know if anybody noticed it. I don't remember MJF taking any little jokes, little shots either. But has anybody on camera acknowledged that she is the wife of Jon Moxley? I don't think so. Maybe one of the announcers when she came out for the first time when she got signed. But if you notice tonight, nobody even taking any shot at the fact that she is Jon Moxley's wife. I'm waiting for Renee to interview Jon Moxley. They have not mentioned it. Take note of that. So after Claudio and Wheeler get the win, Danielson is with Renee Paquette backstage. He's not happy. The Blackpool Combat Club show up, minus Jon Moxley, who's preparing for his match. Yuta and Danielson start jawjacking a little bit at each other. Claudio separates them, and he's like, later on, we're going to sit down, and we're going to straighten this out, do the right thing, and blah, 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 blah. We get the little vignette that I talked about earlier with the Young Bucks of Kenny Omega, the slow burn to their return. Chris Jericho, who is pissed off that he lost the match earlier, he now issued a challenge. Now, I had to replay this a little bit to try to understand what exactly is going on next week. Chris Jericho originally said that he'll challenge any former Ring of Honor champion. He doesn't care if it's World TV, Pure, Women's Champion. He doesn't care. He wants to face somebody. Later on in the night, they announced that next week on Dynamite, Chris Jericho is going to face a former Ring of Honor champion for the Ring of Honor title. By the way, take a shot every time they said Ring of Honor today on TV. I look, again, I'm not crapping on Ring of Honor, but this is hurting their product because they tout Ring of Honor. I almost have a headache. I mean, it's just too much. I feel like Ring of Honor is getting pushed more than even AEW at times. But that is what's being teased next week. But it's going to be a former world champion. Excalibur, towards the end of the night, also said it. Former world champion. Keep that thought on the brain. Hint, hint. Hint, hint. Hint, hint. Start thinking about it. I have your list of Ring of Honor champions, so we'll get into that in a few moments. All right. Swerve and Glory beat FTR, number one contenders match. Suddenly, Keith Lee and Swerve are back on the same page. You know, just this is not like long-term booking. This is just like we're not going to fucking focus on it every single week. People are pissed the fuck off that once again FTR. Keep in mind, remember the banner I showed you a couple of weeks ago that people online are petrified to bring to the surface because they want to be able to be talking to the in crowd that praises everything about AEW. FTR, this was their first match since March 30th as a tag team under the AEW banner. This is not including Ring of Honor matches, AAA matches, IWGP matches, six-man tag matches. Tonight was their first match since March 30th, and they lost. Look at FTR's AEW win-loss record in 2022. It's like, what, 2-4 or 2-5? It's a joke. And tonight, FTR is obviously the most over team. Think back to the video game. Think back of the, you know, pillow talk excuse as to why they weren't, you know, on the roster. You know, you can't be that stupid. People are just petrified to confront this because a lot of people that you associate with, a lot of podcasters, journalists, a lot of other regular folk out there, they may not talk to you anymore. They may unfollow you. And God forbid if you unfollow someone. If you want a great example of that, I'll show you one day in the future. I unfollowed somebody yesterday. I have not unfollowed anybody on Twitter probably in about 6-7 months. I had to unfollow one person yesterday because of something that somebody posted that was just absolutely awful. I didn't say anything publicly. I just decided, let me just unfollow this person. Well, once this person realized I unfollowed him, suddenly calling me every name in a book, putting me down and this, and I have yet to even say one word about this person to anybody simply because I unfollowed them. How old are we? Think about our age. People getting triggered. So no, it was not Kanye West. I don't follow Kanye West. Yay. Yay. All right. So anyway, the Ass Boys, the Gun Club, are at ringside mocking FTR. They end up interfering when FTR was around ringside, and this allows Keith Lee to get the upper hand on Dax Harwood, gets the win, and the crowd is like, what the fuck? So now we have the Acclaimed versus Swerve and Glory once again for the tag titles. The rubber match, as they're calling it. So that's what we have. Another segment that I don't know how I felt about it. I thought the beginning was cute. Saray is with Renee Paquette. Oh my God, I can't believe we're back together. You know, you're Joan Jett and I'm Blondie and blah, 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 blah. And then before anything, here comes Britt Baker. Now remember, they chased each other in the crowd last week. They're beating the fuck out of each other. Britt Baker shows up talking smack and all that. So Saraya starts talking smack. They don't lay hands on each other. And then Renee Paquette acting like a teacher. Stop it. Stop it. This is not how you handle things. And Britt Baker walks off. That was the segment. MJF does an interview with Renee. As I said, doesn't crack any jokes that she is John Moxley's wife, but he sure took a lot of shots at Moxley, calling him mid, walking like him, talking like him. And here's Stokely interrupting MJF, which he doesn't like, and he gives an ultimatum to Stokely. Do not get involved in Moxley's match tonight against Penta. I want Moxley 100% at full gear. Especially what got me to this point, I want to win knowing that he was at 100%. He wants to embarrass Moxley. So, you know, Stokely is not happy. And as we said earlier, you know, there was a little conclusion at the end of the night, little breakup, if you will. Promo by the Kingdom. Bryan Danielson beating Sammy Guevara in a very good match. Did anybody take note of that one fan that was yelling, Daniel Bryan? And he pissed off a lot of unruly fans out there because you could hear that tension in the air. Shut the fuck up. Go back and watch it. You'll see what I'm talking about. I don't know if that person was just trying to be nasty. I don't think that person was being nasty. I think some people are just used to using his name. Once in a while, I still make the mistake. But it was a fan that was chanting, Daniel Bryan, really loud. And you could hear like a bunch of fans like trying to drown him out. Anyway, Bryan Danielson beats Guevara. Ray Phoenix, the Acme Institute, everyone. Ray Phoenix is in the back. He thinks, you know, one title's not enough. Maybe he wants the All-Atlantic Championship. Christian Cage and Luchasaurus shows up. No. My guy's going to get the All-Atlantic Championship. And here is Orange Cassidy shows up. You talking about me? You want this? All right. Next week. Blah, blah, blah. So next week, we're going to have Luchasaurus versus Ray Phoenix versus Orange Cassidy for the All-Atlantic Championship. Jamie Hayter beating Rio with the Lariat. Not a bad match. After the match is over, Tony Storm comes out to kind of provoke Jamie Hayter. That's probably going to be the match at Full Gear. And a lot of people are thinking maybe Jamie Hayter does get this championship. I don't know, man. I still think that there's something about Jamie Hayter, I think, that just rubs the brass the wrong way. I don't know. Unless Thunder Rosa is not close to any return. I should change that around. If she's not going to return by January. If Thunder Rosa returns by January, I could see Tony Storm retaining and then Thunder Rosa coming out, little confrontation that may lead to a match. But I just get this feeling that Thunder Rosa may not be back in time for January. So they may have to, unfortunately, strip her of the championship and maybe make, you know, Tony Storm the official world champion. I mean, you know my thoughts on the interim championship. It was a great idea in the beginning. I know they do it in boxing, but this is fucking awful. You know, it started with Cody with the 2 weeks with that COVID scare story, and since then it's been fucking awful. You go back in the record books and you see, oh, look at CM Punk, how long his first reign was. How long, and then, you know, I don't know. To me, I think it's stupid. All right, Eddie Kingston, with a quick interview with Rene Paquette, basically, he predicts Moxley's going to win, and he wants everybody to leave him alone. John Moxley beats Penta. Not a bad match. Too overly scripted, in my opinion. You know, when Penta is doing a move, and he punches the side to try to loosen up Moxley's arm so he could, you know, then pulls it back. You know, when he punches him once and then Moxley takes his arm and goes like this, and he's literally waiting for Penta to grab it, you know, a couple of things like that, you know, to me is a little bit unacceptable. But, you know, look, you enjoy the match overall. We're supposed to turn a blind eye to it. It was not a bad match, but Moxley obviously was going to win. After the match is over, the Firm shows up, Ethan Page, Stokely, Morrissey, they beat the crap out of John Moxley. MJF is shown on the rampway. He doesn't know what to do. He's contemplating, and the fans are kind of chanting, you know, go make the save, go make the save. MJF finally goes down to ringside. He's just pushing everybody off. But then he looks at Stokely, and he's like, you're fired. And that's when Stokely has the Firm beat the shit out of MJF. Leave him laying, put him through a table to be continued. I think the tag match of Moxley and MJF, yeah, I could see, you know, them teaming up maybe for a week. But I think in the end, as we said at the beginning of the show, you know, he's a snake, he's a devil. And, you know, it's too close to the devil and the whole character. You know, I don't know. It just kind of feels that way. So Rampage this Friday, we have Claudio and Willie Uta versus Matt Menard and Parker, Menard and Parker, Madison Rayo versus Ty Mello, Wardlow versus Matt Taven for the TNT title. Next week, we have the Daddy S birthday bash. Kind of reminds me of ECW. Remember Big Ass Extreme Bash? If you've never seen that event, go check it out. I think you'd really, really like it. I think there's two parts to it. Renee will interview Britt Baker and Saraya next week. This is where I think the challenge will be made for Full Gear. Chris Jericho versus a former Ring of Honor world champion. And then we're going to have Darby Allin versus Jay Lethal. Now, this was strange because it felt like the Darby Allin promo may have been recorded maybe a week or two ago. Because next week is just a match. But Darby Allin gets into this story. And we talked about it last week when we said, anybody noticed that Sting has disappeared? So Darby Allin tells a story why Sting hasn't been around. And basically the story is, Darby Allin told Sting that he's not happy and he wants to just crawl into a hole. Crawl into a hole and die. Sting is like, you can't do that. You're Darby Allin. And Darby Allin's like, yeah, you're right. But you know what? I have to prove it to myself. I got to do it alone. But he starts talking about Jay Lethal, that Jay Lethal has got something from his past, you know, that's going to, you know, take out Darby Allin or something. But next week, there's no tease or a reveal or anything like that. And after Darby told this pre-recorded story, Jay Lethal is cutting a promo, which obviously feels like it was done today. And Jay Lethal is like, you know, forget about that. Next week, we got a match. So it just felt like an outdated promo that they just decided to air anyway. Yeah, Sting is going to be doing a thing with Muda, but I'm talking about storyline right now. And, you know, Sting and Muda hasn't happened yet, by the way. They're setting it up. Now, the contest. I'm going to keep it very easy. What we will do is, I don't know if we should do it in the live chat or if we should do it in the comment section or we should do a combination thereof. So maybe what we'll do is, because somebody hooked me up with a couple of shirts, maybe I'll go halves with them. And maybe we'll have two prizes. We'll have one in the live chat, and then we'll have one in the comment section. Now, the comment section, obviously, for anybody who's live, yeah, you could participate twice. You're not going to win both prizes. You know, you're not going to double dip here. You could win it in the live chat, but as far as the comment section, somebody else is obviously going to win. So, you know, you're not going to increase your chances. But I think this is how we're going to do it. In the live chat, whatever your answer is, you got to put hashtag first. Actually, no, you don't even have to do that in the live chat. But in the comment section, you're going to have to put a hashtag. Now, it's not a ratings predictions contest. No. This is how we're going to do it. Don't write it yet, all right, as far as live chat goes. In the comment section, you can write whenever you want. All right, the contest is going to be this. All you got to do is predict which world, former world Ring of Honor champion is going to face Jericho next week. Now, if they announce his opponent before next Wednesday, then obviously the contest will have to be tweaked some way, shape, or form. So don't post it in the chat yet. In the comment section, since the show will already be over, you can put your guess, but this is what you got to do. You don't have to put the full person's name. You could put their last name. I don't care. But in the comment section, you have to put hashtag first. I'll give you an example. CM Punk. No. Let's use Tyler Black, Seth Rollins. We know Tyler Black is not going to be facing Chris Jericho next week. Let's say you still feel, you know, I want Tyler Black. I want to choose him. So in the chat room, when I say go, you would put Tyler Black. In the comment section, you got to put hashtag Tyler Black. All right. Because when I choose the winner next week randomly, we obviously are going to do it by name. If you misspell the person's name, it's not going to come up. So if you're going to put the person's name, make sure you spell it correctly. I think that's very important. Now, for everybody in the live chat, before you put your guess, let me read you the list of former Ring of Honor world champions. Now, obviously, some of these names are not going to appear. But as I read them, and there's not many, somebody may catch your eye and you'll be like, that's who I want. So here is your list. Jay Lethal, Samoa Joe, Roosh, Nigel McGuinness, Brian Danielson, Adam Cole, Austin Aries, Jay Briscoe, Kevin Steen, Davey Richards, Takeshi Morishima, Jonathan Gresham, Tyler Black, Dalton Castle, Roderick Strong, Xavier, Cody Rhodes, Matt Taven, Bandito, Christopher Daniels, Eddie Edwards, PCO, Michael Elgin, Jerry Lynn, Claudio Castagnoli, Homicide, Loki, CM Punk, James Gibson, Kyle O'Reilly, and Chris Jericho, obviously. He's not going to fight himself. So though, that is your list of former world champions. So now, for the live chat, you're only going to have about 30 seconds to post this. So I'm going to put go right now. Right in the chat room who you believe it's going to be. Who's he going to face? Make sure you spell it correctly. You know. So let everybody, we'll give them like 30 seconds. While I do that, tonight's episode of Wednesday Night Dynamite is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey, we're right around Halloween, everyone. Michael Myers is sure scary, but something tells me that your balls might look a hell of a lot scarier right now. Luckily, our friends at Manscaped launched their fourth generation performance package. Show me the performance package. There you go. Have you ever tried to trim your balls and it turned into like a bloody horror film? Manscaped is here to save the day. Unlock your confidence with the Performance Package 4.0, the holy grail of men's grooming. I have this package, everyone. This package takes care of my package. It's a full moon out, everyone, and a werewolf in your pants is howling. Ow! Oh, I didn't write this. It's time to tackle that problem with the Lawnmower 4.0. They're finely tuned pube products. Feature a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to an advanced skincare technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 really is the greatest ball trimmer on the planet. The Performance Package 4.0 includes the Weed Whacker, a nose and ear hair trimmer. How many of you out there trim your nose hair, but you forget your ears? And then you go out to a club or a restaurant and you go into the bathroom and they have really bright lights and you're looking at your face, you wash your hands, and then you look and it's like a couple of hairs like sticking out of your ear. Can you imagine if your significant other just decides one day to suck on your earlobe and they get hair in their mouth? Has it ever happened to yours truly? I refuse to say. Anyway, seal the deal, everyone, with Manscaped's Liquid Formations, the Crop Preserver, their Ball Deodorant. Yes, they have deodorant for your balls. And the Crop Reviver. Remember, Manscaped has many other products. They just launched this body buffer. 100% antibacterial body scrubber is just what you need to keep yourself fresh, clean, and exfoliated. And if you want to pick up the Performance Package 4.0, you get free boxers. Yes, I have them. I will not model them, thank you very much. And believe it or not, that newspaper, everyone, you do get that. True story, when they sent me a gift, even though I've bought products from them also, they sent me that newspaper, and I threw it right in the garbage. I'm like, I thought it was like packing material. And then my now wife looked at the garbage pail, throwing something away, and she's like, what's this in the garbage pail? We save balls. And I said, what are you talking about? And I look in the garbage pail. I pulled the newspaper, added a garbage pail. And that in itself, my wife's like, ew, gross. You took something out of the garbage pail. And I was like, oh, fuck, this is a pretty cool newspaper. Package, cleanse, position. So if you're looking like Wolverine down there and you haven't cut your nails recently, either make sure to look into the Shears 2.0 nail kit. They got so much shit over there, everyone. Get 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped.com. Enter the promo code DONTONY. Get 20% off. All right. Contest is over. Contest over. So when we replay this next week, I will look back and see who got the name right as far as Jericho's opponent. What I will then do is I will put everybody's name on the wheel like this, and maybe we'll spin it on the Don Tony Show next Saturday. Because remember, we go live Wednesday. I'm not going to have enough time, you know, to put everybody's name on the wheel. So we'll announce who qualifies next week, and then we'll do it on the next episode afterwards. So, all right. So, again, in the comment section after the show is over, if you want to participate, just put hashtag and whoever you pick as your opponent for Jericho, and we'll see what happens. All right. Let's get into a little bit of NXT. And then we got to talk a little bit about New Japan, because they issued a response to Carl Anderson, but something tells me this is storyline. I don't think we should jump the gun yet. Oh, and there's something about this guy, Austin Theory. I'll tell you right now. Remember 2 weeks ago, at the very end of NXT, Austin Theory came out with the Money in the Bank briefcase, just showed it, but he never appeared at Halloween Havoc. So what was that all about? Believe it or not, everyone, WWE is seriously considering that when it's time for Austin Theory to cash in the briefcase, he may cash it in at an NXT event. They may have planted the seed 2 weeks ago for a future cash in. Now, why did they do that? Because as far as we were always under the impression, whoever wins the briefcase could cash in on Raw or SmackDown. Now, logic would tell you WrestleMania is coming up. If I'm Austin Theory, why would I not cash it in for the World or Universal Championship or Unified World Championship? Why would he prefer, I don't want that. Give me the NXT championship. I mean, why would you do that? You know, so it's him coming out was just to tell all of us subconsciously, yeah, I could cash in for the NXT championship. So if they would have had him appear, let's say a month from now or a couple of months from now, whether it's a premium live event or just an episode of NXT on TV, a lot of people at that time would probably say, how does he cash in? Like, I didn't know he could cash in on NXT. So him coming out and teasing the briefcase was to clarify for all of us, like, oh, I guess he can. WWE is thinking about that right now. But again, my problem with it is, if you think of logic, why would you cash in for the NXT championship? That's like if a restaurant gave me a coupon. You know, a good restaurant. What's a real good restaurant? A chain restaurant. All right, Outback Steakhouse. All right, look, it's not that great, but it's kind of expensive. Okay, let's give you, look, right here, coupon. You can have anything you want. You can have anything you want in a restaurant. Now, me, I would probably go for the Tomahawk Steak for two. You know, you could have one thing, anything. Now, think Austin Theory getting the coupon to go to Outback, and they say you can have any item you want. And Austin Theory says, you know, I'll take a slider. You fucking stupid matarazzo. What are you, stupid? You take a slider? One of those mini White Castle hamburgers? You get the Tomahawk Steak, motherfucker. So I don't know how this is going to play off, but you know what? Give Shawn Michaels credit. Give Triple H credit. I know Raw sucked this week overall, but for the most part, they have done a pretty damn good job over the last 6 months. So, you know, maybe they can pull it off. Maybe they can pull it off. All right. This past week, Kayden Carter, Katana Chance, they retained the women's tag titles, beating Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark Really, really good match. Kaden Carter, Katana Chance, I'm starting to warm up on them. They, you know, their multiple losses when they were going for the titles way back when, it didn't feel, they didn't feel special at all. When they won the championships, I was like, okay, but since then, their reign has not been very good. But they are really clicking as a team. They are really clicking as a team. So, you know, their run, I'm starting to buy into. So, Shotzi Blackheart over Last Legend. Pretty Deadly retain their tag championships, beating Idris Inofi and Malik Blade. Indy Hartwell over Sal Ruka. And the news coming out of that match was, after the match was over, Electra Lopez made her return. Beat the shit out of Indy Hartwell. Beat the shit out of Sal Ruka. She's putting all the NXT bitches on notice. And it's, I'm very happy to see her back on TV. You know, I just, she's still got a little ways away as far as, you know, really putting it together in the ring. So maybe the time she's been out, maybe she's been working hard in that ring. But right now, I don't feel that she's any viable threat. But hey, we'll see what happens. JD McDonagh over Ilya Dragunov. And after the match was over, Ilya Dragunov was stretchered out. Now, did you notice? I don't know how many of you out there that don't brush your teeth. Any of you out there get bloody gums? You know, where, you know, you have like swollen gums, and if you just like suck your gums hard enough, you could actually draw blood. I don't know if you know anyone that does that. My grandmother used to do that. Hey, you want to see something? And then we'd see blood. Don't ask me why. Ilya Dragunov had blood coming out of his mouth. Now, you could taste blood, so you know when you're bleeding. And what he was doing was, if you look closely, he was trying to show more blood. So he was sucking the blood out of his gums. He was doing like this. And then he was spitting it out. He was I don't mean to be gross, but just pretend this is blood. This is what he was doing. Yeah, that was kind of gross. But yeah, that's what he was doing. But they stretchered him out. Ilya Dragunov has gotten quite a few losses in NXT, and now they stretchered him out. And there is some talk that he may be brought to Raw or SmackDown sooner or later. That would be fucking phenomenal. Could you imagine if they bring him to SmackDown and he rekindles that feud with I almost said Walter, with Gunther? I don't know if anybody even thought about that. If Ilya, now remember, I think Ilya would be perfect teaming up with Ludwig Kaiser. But if they didn't want to go that route, could you imagine if they put Ilya on SmackDown? I mean, we have just had bangers with Gunther and Sheamus. Imagine if Ilya shows up and we get three quarters of the match that we got that time in NXT. Be mind-boggling. That would be fucking awesome. So, you know, when I put this in a synopsis yesterday, I got a DM from someone, and they're like, I just can't see. Why would they put him on the main roster? And I was like, oh, I can't wait till Wednesday to just throw that out there. I don't think anybody stopped to think, well, maybe he faces Gunther on the main roster. You know what that reminds me of? 1995, when Rey Mysterio or Eddie Guerrero first went to WCW, and what was one of the first matches that Eric Bischoff put on? Dean Malenko versus Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio versus Juventud. You know, we've seen it in AAA back in the early 90s. We saw it in ECW. Eric Bischoff signs them. Eric Bischoff is not going to try to rewrite what's already out there. He throws that shit right out. They think Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko might have been the first match when they showed up in 1995, I believe it was. So you put Ilya on SmackDown, fuck it. Put him right back in that mix. Mon Hajek, welcome to the family, my friend. Devin M., Roman versus Braun, what's easier logically? Just common sense. Roman, if you lost the dairy, Roman Reigns. I would not do Roman Reigns versus Braun Breaker, though. Would not do that. I think it would be a cool, you know, unique moment, but I wouldn't do that. It would be an underdog deal, and I think it would be pretty cool. I mean, how epic would that be if Roman Reigns showed up in NXT? You know, he has history in NXT. I mean, that, now, obviously, if they do that, they're going to hype it up for a couple of weeks. And listen, you look at that card that WWE put on NXT 2 weeks ago that went up against AEW. If there's another Tuesday night war, you know, never hold out that possibility that they might just say, fuck it, let's get Roman Reigns or Sami Zayn or somebody like that on NXT for one night and hype it up for a couple of weeks. That would be really, really interesting. Shout out to KD. Thank you very much, my friend. Watch Party misses me there. Do I seriously think having a great reveal on NXT? And what's her name? Is she placed with this stuck-in-the-middle group? I don't think this helps her at all. My thoughts as far as I already closed it out. Oh, maybe no, maybe I didn't. So he's talking about this person. Yeah, we got a troll. I'm telling you, put it on loop for 5 minutes. You'll be there after a couple of minutes. You'll be like, look, this is developmental, KD. You know, that's the problem I think some people forget. You know, this is developmental. Yes, it's on nationwide TV. Yes, it's getting 700,000 viewers. Yes, people will compare it to the Black and Gold. Yes, they'll compare it to when Bayley and Sasha Banks was there. Yes, they'll compare it. They'll always compare it to yesteryear. But at the end of the day, these guys are still trying to develop and find their footing. Developmental, you're supposed to throw shit on the wall and see if it sticks. I always use Wendy Chu as an example. She went from blowing vape to holding body pillows and sleeping, and it worked. You had Duke Hudson that went from being a gambler to, I don't know what he's doing, now he's in Chase University. Developmental is the testing grounds. This is entertainment. You test different forms of entertainment. The problem is, when it comes to NXT, when it comes to developmental, you don't have focus groups. So who are your focus groups? Your viewers, your fans. And that shows what works and what doesn't. So this is developmental. We haven't seen her on TV yet. This is her debut yesterday. We don't know what she can do or what she can't do. You know, all we know is that she's in the group. Let's give it a month or two. Let's see what happens. You know, let's see what she does. Let's see how much she's put out there. She may do very little. And we reevaluate it. But I'm not. I mean, I think it would be foolish for me to criticize it when she was never on TV before. You know, I go back 20 years. And I've told this story many times over the years, even on my hotlines. We went to Madison Square Garden in 2000, I think it was 2002. And Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar were in a dark match. In a dark match. And the match sucked. Brock Lesnar was nowhere near. I think this was, this might have even been 2001. It was either 01 or 02. Pretty sure it was 02 because 01 was the same year as ECW went out of business and WCW. That feels too soon. But we saw them in a dark match before they ever debuted on TV. And it was not very good. You know, so we're judging her, you know, and she hasn't done anything yet. So I say we wait and see. Now, as far as the watch parties go, you know, the problem is right now is that Tuesdays, you know, I get home from work late and then I have to prepare for my Patreon show. I have to prepare for my next day, prepare other things. And the watch parties are getting, it's getting a little bit difficult. And the same thing with Fridays. I do my Saturday show in the morning. So I have to set up everything Friday night. You know, I moderate in the background, but, you know, I definitely will be back. I do stop by here and there, but right now it's schedules are kind of fucked up. But, you know, I'll definitely be back. Definitely. And by the way, I finally, we ordered them 2 weeks ago and I got them 2 days ago, our thank you card. So I will be sending one out to you. If you don't mind, DM me your address again. I know I have it saved, but, you know, I definitely want to send you a thank you. And I have a couple of shot glasses with your name on it as well. All right. I see Devin M. with a two-spot thank you. Next NXT champ, Austin Theory, JD McDonagh, or Dominik Dijakovic? Well, I'm glad you brought up Dijakovic. Right now, NXT is talking about having Apollo Crews and Dominik Dijakovic be two of the next opponents for Bron Breakker. Dominik Dijakovic will be brought back and do some squash matches first. So I see Apollo Crews getting an opportunity against Bron Breakker before I see Dominik Dijakovic getting the spot. But out of those three, I tell you, JD McDonagh, crowd is starting to get behind him. And JD McDonagh is an uber-talented guy. That's a guy that I've said, and I even said it yesterday on Patreon, I have a hard time picturing him on the main roster. I don't know why, but I don't see where he would fit in right now. But I would say JD McDonagh before Austin Theory or Dijakovic. But JD McDonagh, he's pretty good, man. I mean, he really is. For NXT, he shines. He shines. On the main roster, I don't see him getting anywhere near that opportunity. So, all right. So also, we had Indus Shear, Sangha, and Veer Mahan attacked the Creed brothers. So much for them being baby faces, right? Sangha, very pleasant, very kind. You know, with the women backstage, all about respect. But you know what? I liked it. I liked it. The Creed brothers, that is going to be a tremendous challenge. I am already envisioning some of the crazy-ass power moves that they're going to do. But, yeah, Indus Shear are finally back in the ring. And we will see. I mean, will they have a match right away? It'll probably get set up for December 10th. But Indus Shear showing up and taking care of business. Now, next week on NXT, we're actually going to have R-Truth main eventing, taking on Grayson Waller. R-Truth showed up in NXT yesterday thinking it was Halloween Havoc. You had Wesley and Grayson Waller in the ring as well, and you know how R-Truth is. You know, if you've watched him on WWE Raw and SmackDown, you know. He thinks it's Halloween Havoc. Grayson Waller's like, that was 3 days ago. And he starts mimicking Grayson Waller. Matches issued. The challenge is issued. They will face each other next. R-Truth, man. How awesome of a 24-hour period was that? If you're a fan of R-Truth, you had to have really enjoyed the last 24 hours. His segments with Miz and Gargano, him beating The Miz, and now showing up on NXT and having a lot of fun back and forth with Grayson Waller. So next week also, Mandy Rose will be celebrating 1 year as women's champion. Who is going to challenge Mandy Rose? I'm not saying a match will go down next week, but somebody's going to have to interrupt that party. Will it be someone currently on the NXT roster, or could it be someone on the main roster that is going to make an appearance? Or two, or three. Hint. Bron Breakker will be back next week as well. And I think we're going to further intensify the build of Bron Breakker and Apollo Crews. Who knows? Maybe Dijakovic appears next week as well. All right. New Japan Pro Wrestling. If you remember last Wednesday, we played a video, Carl Anderson addressing that he is double booked November 5th for New Japan and for Saudi Arabia Crown Jewel. And Carl Anderson made it clear that he will be performing at Crown Jewel. Now, New Japan issued a press release. I'm going to show it to you and read it to you. Then I'm going to tell you my thoughts because I am highly skeptical at this threat. New Japan says, and I quote, "Thank you for supporting New Japan Pro Wrestling. Early morning Japan time on October 20th, Never Openweight Champion Carl Anderson posted a video on social media indicating that he would not be making his advertised commitment on November 5th in Osaka. New Japan has announced Anderson's match with Hikuleo Hikulea for the NEVA Openweight Championship on October 4th. Despite comments from Doc Gallows to the contrary in Anderson's video, the booking was made through the appropriate channels and with Anderson's expressed approval. Now, I want to make something clear because I saw a few people on social media that kind of got mixed up. When they said that the announced match for him versus Hikuleo on October 4th, that's not the date the match is supposed to go down. October 4th was the date that the match was announced publicly for November 5th. So I just want to make that clear. So anyway, the rest of the press release. However, after the match's announcement, both Gallows and Anderson would appear on the October 10th edition of Raw. This led to WWE announcing a match featuring both men for their Saudi Arabia event on November 5th. New Japan has, for the past several days, attempted to negotiate with Carl Anderson, but has not been met with a response. Should Anderson decide to renege on his scheduled championship match, he will be required to vacate the NEVA Openweight Championship and return the title belt to New Japan immediately. New Japan Pro Wrestling holds its champions to the highest standards of professionalism and sincerely apologizes to fans for any disappointment or inconvenience caused by this matter. Okay. I don't buy it, and I'll tell you why. Everything about Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, when they have been working with Impact Japan, everywhere they go, they are extremely professional, and they are also old school. They honor commitments, they dot the I's, cross the T's, and trust me, this is just opinion, but I think you could trust me on this one. When Gallows and Anderson negotiated a deal to return to WWE, this was brought up to New Japan first. Personally, in my opinion, if they signed with WWE and there was some type of, you know, deal with New Japan in place, I think New Japan 5 minutes later would have been all over the net and, you know, kind of like throwing it out there like, what's going on with November 5th? Because remember, they announced that match 6 days later, Gallows and Anderson show up on Raw. New Japan says pretty much nothing. My opinion, WWE and New Japan discussed November 5th before Gallows and Anderson ever appeared on the October 10th Raw. So I think this is 100% storyline. I also believe that Carl Anderson will still defend that championship in New Japan. Maybe it happens in the United States. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I don't work for either company. But in my opinion, especially with Triple H at the helm and, you know, how he deals with outside companies, I just can't see them going rogue and just, and Gallows and Anderson are not unprofessional like that. So I think this is storyline. I expect Carl Anderson to cut another video addressing New Japan's threat. And I think in storyline, he's not going to appear. And I think maybe he holds the belt hostage. And then maybe this leads to something here in the States. I don't know. Maybe in storyline they threaten lawsuit and then he goes to Japan. I don't know. But I will say this. WWE is very professional. Gallows and Anderson are very professional. And New Japan is also very professional. So this was all discussed and worked on way before Gallows and Anderson appeared on WWE television. So that's my honest opinion on it. I could be wrong. You know, who knows? Impact Wrestling, because they are going to be touring a little bit, I want to show this to you because I know some of you out there who tune into the shows do live in these areas. If you are interested, Hard to Kill will be taking place Friday, January 13th, and they're going to do an Impact taping on the 14th. They're calling it Hard to Kill Fallout. That's going to be taking place in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't have the venue information yet, but if you live around Atlanta, GA, Hard to Kill and Hard to Kill Fallout will take place Friday and Saturday, January 13th and 14th. Impact will have a set of tapings Friday, January 20th and Saturday, January 21st in Kissimmee, Florida. The No Surrender pay-per-view in February They're going to have a three-event weekend. Friday will February 24th, Saturday, February 25th, and Sunday, February 26th. That is going to take place in Las Vegas, Nevada. And then the March events. And I think some of you will be very happy for this. Impact Sacrifice will take place Friday, March 24th, and Sacrifice Fallout Saturday, March 25th in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. So Impact will be touring to Atlanta, Georgia, Kissimmee, Florida, Las Vegas, Nevada, and Windsor, Ontario, Canada for the first quarter of 2023. So I hope they book some nice-sized venues. You know, it would be nice to see them get 1,000 fans. You know, I mean, they have a good enough roster. It's just, it's a shame to see in front of your eyes what's going on. It's a shame. But, you know, just figured I'd put that out there because I know some of you live in those areas. So, anyway, with that said, I think we're going to start bringing this home. I really don't want to spend much time on this, but I'll throw it out there because it is starting to gain traction. Tony Khan went on Busted Open, I think today, and he addressed some comments that Eric Bischoff made recently. And I kind of side with Tony Khan on this one, but I also feel that things are being twisted a little bit. Wasn't too long ago that MJF took on Wheeler Yuta to open up AEW Dynamite. I think that was the match where Eric Bischoff went on social media and said, why is this match happening? And that really pissed off Tony Khan. And Tony Khan started talking about what WCW used to do in the mid-90s. And Tony Khan said, and I quote, and I want to thank James for sending me this transcript. It's not long, but he says he thinks there's a lot of really interesting stories happening in AEW. And there's going to be a line in here that I know everybody's going to focus on. He says, I noticed that things have changed a lot in the perception of how a wrestling card is built over the years. And he talks about over the last 20 years. He says, there's this perception that every match on every show should have a long storyline build on why it takes place. All right, hold your horses for a minute. I don't think any of you out there think that every match that you see on TV has to have a storyline built. If you had Chad Gable versus Seth Rollins, ain't no fucking storyline built. If you have Sami Zayn versus Santos Escobar, just throwing the match out there. Every week we get matches that have no build. So I think, and the problem is, with all due respect, nobody at Busted Open stops Tony Khan right there and said, wait a minute. You know, is anybody saying that every match requires a storyline? So I kind of think that Tony Khan there got away with one. But he addresses Eric Bischoff, and here is where I think he is actually making some decent points. He says, frankly, the person who I think has been the most incendiary and contradictory and hypocritical on this point is Eric Bischoff. If you watch Nitros, especially the good ones from 1995 to 1998, a lot of the quality of the show was seeing lucha matches and things that you didn't expect, and there was a certain exquisite randomness to the lineup of the card. You turn the show on, and it would be Rick Martel against Perry Saturn. That's pretty cool. Or you get Randy Savage versus Bobby Eaton, and various lucha matches that didn't necessarily have a build-up but were fun matches. So he goes on and on, and I agree with everything that Tony Khan said, but I also look at it like this. Number one, I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody out there that thinks that every match on TV has to have a storyline behind it. That's fucking, I don't want to use the R word, but it's stupid. Very stupid. I don't know anybody that does it. And again, Busted Open because they want to have Tony Khan, and they got to have Tony Khan. No disrespect meant, but you know, they let him get away with that. That'd be the first fucking words about Tony. I don't know anybody that feels that every match has to have a storyline. The big matches, sometimes, you know, I could see, but no one is saying that. But here's another thing. When we used to get Rey Mysterio versus Hoovy to open up Nitro, or you got Eddie Guerrero versus Super Calo. We loved the matches. We fucking loved it. But you, if you were around at that time, you know damn well that those wrestlers were not the ones killing it in the ratings, killing it in the merchandise. Not people were not buying the tickets for them. Everybody was there for NWO. Everybody was there for Hogan, this and that. And that's also because of the way WCW treated a lot of these guys. Believe me when I tell you, I started my wrestling hotline in 1997, and I remember clearly people like, wow, you know what was so disrespectful? This was probably the most disrespectful memory I have with WCW Nitro as a fan. And nobody talks about it. You know what was so disrespectful? Watching Conan versus Ray or Psychosis versus Ray, which would be a great example. And you'd be watching a magical match in the ring, and all the commentators would do would talk about the NWO or Hall and Nash or the Four Horsemen or Hogan or Bischoff or Savage. They would never focus on those guys. You watch AEW now, and every match, if you take a shot every time Tony Schiavone says, oh, this is great. Oh, this is amazing. This is unbelievable. This is great. Oh, this is so great. Excalibur does it. Taz does it. Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, this is great. Ah, you do that. You go back and listen to WCW. They would never. Now, Taz and Excalibur weren't in WCW, but Schiavone was. But that's not his fault. That's WCW. That's how they did it. So they were. WCW was extremely disrespectful to the smaller guys, the vanilla midgets, as some of them were called back in the day. So I get what Tony Khan is saying, but I also don't think that Eric Bischoff, you, me, or anyone else out there thinks that every match you see on TV requires a storyline behind it. So, all right, everyone, I'm going to jet out of here. We are right around 90 minutes. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Again, I hope I don't disappoint anyone by not getting into these long, detailed reviews of Dynamite. I look around. I pay attention, and I see 1,000 people doing the same thing. Review, 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 and then people with their reactions. I want to talk about the things. I try to talk about the things that may be on your mind after these shows go over. You think about, with MJF getting beat down, you think about Ava Rain yesterday, you think about, R-Truth, things like that. Those are the things that we focus on. The Young Bucks, Kenny Omega making a return. You see how some news reporters are now very, very comfortably, the investigation's just about over. That's because these EVPs are starting to pass around crumbs again. Does anybody actually think that CM Punk, reached out to someone just to say, yeah, my dog got two teeth kicked in? You don't know anything else, but that the dog lost two teeth. You take a step back and you start thinking about it like shit don't fly. It's crumbs. It's crumbs. That's why I use the term crumbs. Crumbs are not supposed to. That's not what crumbs do, unless you give someone a million crumbs. This is a fucking feast. What's going online right now is little by little, little crumbs. Thunder Rosa's favorite girlfriends in AEW are not featured on many matches lately. Crumbs. CM Punk went legal immediately. Walked out, went legal. Crumbs. Crumbs. Now I even see Colt Cabana is now podcasting, and I'm not saying that he took on any hiatus, but now he feels comfortable, because nobody even confronted him. Like, why didn't you ever address or clear up the CM Punk stuff or, let us know if it was true or not true? And if anybody says, for the betterment of AEW, he just chose to remain silent. That's fine. But what about all his friends that were passing crumbs? I hear that he was moved to Ring of Honor. Because of CM Punk. If that's not true, why you just clear that up and stop the fake news? Crumbs. So you're starting to see little by little, little crumbs. So when you see these little tiny nuggets, just remember crumbs, because that's what's starting to happen again. We don't get crumbs, everyone. I don't think we care. Do we really care? All right, everyone. You all have a good night. If you haven't checked it out yet, I did post the mailbag last night. If you're a member of our Patreon family, or if you're you're an elite channel member on YouTube, check out last night's Patreon show. That is up. I will be back here on Saturday morning, 11 a.m. for the Don Tony Show. We have a few things to get into. I'll leave you with a little Eddie Kingston teaser. This is just an opinion piece, but we'll talk about it Saturday. Eddie Kingston did an interview, might have been today, and he talked about the problems in the locker room in AEW. He made some comments about types of people and why they're doing what they're doing. I invite you to go check it out before I talk about it Saturday, because me, I am a 20-year fan of Eddie Kingston, and anybody that's been tuning into these shows for many, many years, way before he ever showed up in AEW, we've shown love to Eddie Kingston. But if you read what Eddie Kingston said in this interview, or if there's audio and you listen to it, I think what Eddie Kingston said in the interview, he's doing the very exact thing that he is saying is a problem in the locker room. What he said in the interview is exactly what he's complaining about. He did the very thing, in my opinion. Now, I'm going to examine it more. I'm going to see if there's audio. Hope maybe somebody just typed it a little bit wrong. But on the surface, seeing it early, to me, it looks like, hey, Eddie, practice what you preach. You know, you're talking about these problems, but didn't you just do the very same thing that you're complaining about? Be well, everybody. Have a good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.